Good morning. Today's daf and yom is ayin. We are on Samach Tes Amud Beis. We are to two dots towards the bottom of the Amud. It's about 6 lines from the bottom. We are going to continue the discussion of the Gemara regarding the Kriyas HaTorah, 7th parak of the Masechta, which started on Samach Tes Amud Beis. We just started 2 days ago. So the Mishnah introduced us to all the avodas that are done after the Seer, Seer HaMishtaleach. So the goat is sent away. Information is sent back to the Kohen Gadol that the goat is sent away. The goat is now officially in the desert. And so now we're on to the next part of the Avodah, which is going to be the Kriyas HaTorah. Kohen Gadol is going to be reading from the Sefer Torah. He's going to be reading 3 different Parshios. He'll be reading from Parshas Achrimos, immediately followed by Parshas Amor, and then immediately followed by Parshas Pinchas. So obviously, all three of them are selections regarding the Avodah of Yom Kippur. So to having one Sefer Torah and reading from the 3 Parshios is doable, but the Mishnah says, but that's not what we do. Kohen Gadol is going to be reading from Achrimos, which is the 16th parak of Vayikra. Then he'll be rolling the Sefer Torah just a little bit to get to the 23rd parak of Sefer Vayikra. It's a couple rolls, and then after that, the Kohen Gadol is going to roll the Sefer Torah up, close it, and then the last Parshas Pinchas. So the Kohen Gadol is going to say it by heart. That's the format. That's the system. What we're going to discuss today, I promised yesterday, but, you know, kind of knew it was coming. What we're going to discuss today is why specifically this format sounds like a strange format. I'll tell you what happens when we have multiple kriyas. I'll tell you what we do. We take out 2 Sefer Torah. Sometimes, if necessary, we take out 3 Sefer Torah. So it can't be that we innovated. It can't be that we thought about it for the first time. And there in the base of Mikdash, the Kohen Gadol is only strapped with 1 Sefer Torah, and that's, you know, he can't do that. What's happening? So that's part of the discussion. We're going to start off with today's daf. Let's Uriminu. So let me just read the heading. V'kori achrei mos v'achbasor. Uriminu. So the Gemara is now going to be bothered with the following question, which is, medalgim anavi ve'im medalgim Torah. You know, you could jump around in the Navi, but you can't jump around the Torah. Now, jumping around the Navi, so that means to say that when you're reading Navi, when are we reading Navi? So every Shabbos, after Kriyas HaTorah, so we read a selection from Navi. So you want to jump around the Navi, you may do so, but ain medalgim b'Torah, but can't jump around in the Torah. In other words, you can read from one section of the Torah, but in that Torah, you can't jump around from one section to another. So the Gemara says, lo kashya gam b'chdei she'yafsik haTorgaman. Before we get to the answer, but let me just spell out the question. I think it's pretty clear. And meanwhile, we have our Kohen Gadol jumping around from Parsha to Parsha. He's going to Achrimos, then he's going to Amor, and then he's going to go, well, he's not going to go to Parshas Pinchas, but even the jump from Achrimos to Amor, that's a jump. And the Braisa says you're not allowed to do that. So the Gemara tries to give an answer. The Gemara says, lo kasha, kam b'chdei she'yafsik haTorgaman, kam b'chdei she'lo yafsik haTorgaman. Well, it depends. You know, you do have a little bit of time, the time for the translator. Okay, so let's go back to a time when there was a Torgamon. So nowadays we don't have a Torgamon. If you go to a Yemenite minion, so you're gonna see it done. But you go to any other minion, you're not gonna see it done. So Ashkenaz far, you won't see it. But back in the day, so there was a Torgamon. What happened was that the Baal Kori would read the Torah. He'd read a pasuk, and then he would pause, and the Torgamon would then translate into Aramaic, which everyone at the time understood. And it was a great way. It was a fantastic way. Basically have everyone understand the Torah. Good. So now after the Baal Kori reads the pasuk, so you have a little bit of time because the Torgamon now is going to translate. So in that time that's given to you, if you can roll the Sefer Torah to the next parsha that you want to get to, so what the Gemara now is suggesting is that okay? So then you're allowed to jump around. You're allowed to skip. So maybe over here, the jump from Achrimos to Parshas Amor, it's not such a great skip, and you could do it within the time that the Torgamon is translating. So the Gemara says, okay, that's a really nice suggestion, but the Gemara says, but it just simply doesn't work. V'halakitani, because I'm going to show you the end of that Braisa. And the end of the Braisa says, medalgim benavi v'em medalgim b'torah v'ad kama medalig b'chdei shelo yafsik haTorgamon. So in the subsequent part of the Braisa, it says that when you're reading from the Navi and you want to now move ahead to another section in Navi, so you could do so, provided that there's not going to be any dead time, meaning that the Torgamon's going to be translating. And while the Torgamon's translating, so then you can jump ahead to the next Parsha. And there won't be any time where it's just, you know, people are waiting around. That's by Navi. And the Gemara now points out, HaBetorah Klal Klal Lo. Which now the simple diuk of the Braisa is that when it comes to the Torah, even if there is no time lapsing, even if there is a Meturgam and translating, but I cannot skip around at all in the Sefer Torah. So, comes out now, the way we're reading the Braisa and understanding the Braisa is that there is simply no room whatsoever to maneuver in the Sefer Torah. When you're picking up a Sefer Torah and reading a Sefer Torah, you can only read from that Parsha. You cannot read from an upcoming Parsha, even if it's not that far away. So, I'm Rabbi Lokasha, coming in Echa, come B'Shnei Yonim. So, Abai says, okay, but here again, we're going to modify. And that is that when it's Shnei Yonim, when it's two different topics, so then you are not allowed to jump around from one parsha to another, even if there's not going to be any lag time. However, if you're going be'inyan echad, if you're going within one inyan, and there's not going to be any lag time, so then that's going to be allowed. Really important Rashi over here. I'm going to read the Rashi inside be'inyan echad. You have to be on topic. Rashi says, kigon hacha, sheshtei parshas medabras be'inyan yom kippurim. So over here, when I'm going to achrei mos, the parshas amor. So over here, we're staying on topic. Achrei mos is all about Yom Kippur. Parshas Emor, and specifically, obviously, the selection of Yom Kippur, that's all in Yen Echad. Rashi says, Midalgin. So then what you can, then you're allowed to. Uchadesh lo yafsek haTorgam. And again, we're still working with the previous clause, which is that there cannot be any lapse, meaning you gotta be able to roll the Sefer Torah within the time that it takes for the Torgam to translate. Rashi continues. However, if let's say you're going to be jumping to another section of the Sefer Torah for whatever reason, right? Without giving an actual example, but for whatever reason, you're jumping to a different topic and it's a Torah, you cannot do that. And Rashi explains why. Lefisha divrei Torah hi azharas va'onchin u'mitzvos. Because what is the Torah? I know it's a very simple and obvious question, but what is the Torah? It's instructions. It's the punishments. It's the Yisurim of the Torah. It's the mitzvahs of the Torah. V'tzarech sheyichnasu b'lev hashomim. And therefore, it's got to be really clear. Like, people have to understand it. U'chashadim yotze b'shita l'shita acheres eino noach lisbonein. And when you're jumping around from one topic to another topic, so it's going to be very difficult for people to fully follow what's going on. So that's why when it comes to the Sefer Torah, and it's shtei inyanim, and you're going to be jumping in the Torah from one topic to another topic, so that you can't do, even if there's not going to be any time wasted, so to say, or there won't be any lag, but still you can't do it because we need precise understanding when it comes to the Sefer Torah. Which means, by the way, if you're following Rashi, what does that mean regarding Navi? You don't need precise understanding by the Navi? Yeah, that's exactly what Rashi's saying. That by the Navi, you don't need such a precise understanding. What is Navi? Navi is, aside from giving us some basic historical account, it's Musar. Right? The Navi is there to tell us, to teach us Musar. So over there, you want to jump around from one part of Navi to another part of Navi? That's fine. As long as there's not going to be a lag of time. So, but that's fine. So, good. So that's Rashi's explanation of our Gemara over here. Okay. Uve Navi, we're back to the Gemara. Vehatanya. That's where we left off. Good. Vehatanya. We're two lines from the bottom. On Samach Tasam and Beis, the Gemara says, now I'm going to quote a Braisa. And over here, this Braisa is going to support, right? Occasionally we have that Vehatanya, not challenging, but rather supporting. So, and you can count on Rashi every single time that the Hatanya is coming there to support us. Rashi says, it's here to support. Rashi does that in the very last Rashi in the Amud. Anyway. Vehatanya medagim b'tara bin yanechad v'navi b'shnein yanim. So, when it comes to Torah, you want to jump to another topic, you can't do that. If you're on topic, you can jump. By Navi, you can jump to another topic. So, with the provision that that there's not going to be any lag time, meaning you have to be able to roll either the Sefer Torah or the Navi within the amount of time that it takes the Torah to translate. You cannot go from one Navi to another Navi, meaning even if I'm going to jump around in a Navi, you got to stay within the same Navi. However, if you're in Treyasar, so categorically Treyasar is going to be treated like one Sefer, and so therefore you can jump around in Treyasar. Here's what you cannot do. You cannot go backwards. Meaning the only thing that's allowed in the skipping that we've been describing now for the last almost 10 minutes is that you can only skip forward. You can't skip backwards. There is one Haftorah, don't ask me right now because I forget, but there is one Haftorah where we do that, right? Where we commit the infraction, which the Gemara over here says you're not allowed to do, and that is by the Haftorah, we do skip backwards on one occasion. Okay, again, I'm not ready for to identify which one because I forgot. But generally speaking, though, you'll find in the Haftarahs there are occasions where it's a skipper, right? Generally speaking, most shuls work with a safer Haftarah, right? A book committed to just giving you the Haftarah, or some people just open up to the back of the Chumash and read from there, and that's great. In other words, you don't really have to worry about skipping because they do the work for you. However, it's recommended, and many shuls they do. They work with the Tanakh when reading the Haftarah, and so therefore when skipping, so it gets a little bit challenging because you got to turn the pages a little bit ahead. But you'll find that most of the time, if you're working from a Tanakh and you're doing the Haftarah, you find you're going to be skipping forward, almost never are going to skip backwards. And the instructions of the Gemara are very clear that you're not allowed to do. Okay. We are on Ayin Amud Aleph. Now, moving on to the next topic, Golo Sefer Torah. Kol Kach Lama. So and why do we do this? Meaning, Rashi explains over here, Lama Tzarech Lomar Yosef Mimashi Karisi Lifneichem, Kasav Khan. Right? Remember the way the Mishnah describes it? Kohen Gadol is going to be reading from Achrimos, then reading from Parshas Amor, then closing the Sefer Torah, making the pronouncement. And the pronouncement is, you know, there's more in here, which I'm about to read, but I'm going to do it by heart. I'm going to do it al peh. Why does he do that? I mean, that's the Gemara's question. So, kol kach lama kedish lo letzi elazo sefer Torah. Because look, from the simple perspective of the casual observer, I mean, it's Yom Kippur. It's no real casual observer, but even from the not so casual observer. So what happens when you're reading from a sefer Torah and whoops, before we finish, we close it up. So everyone thinks, okay, it's a sefer Torah, it's puzzle. Right, that's the right. If we're closing it early, so generally speaking, it's a pretty good indication that somebody found a mistake in the Sefer Torah. It's the Sefer Torah Psula. So over here, the Kohen Gadol does not want anyone to speak like that about the Sefer Torah. That's why he makes an announcement and he says, "Look, I'm the Sefer Torah is fine." Basically, is what he's saying. I'm just, in other words, because we don't want to roll all the way to Parshas Pinchas. So therefore, I'm going to say it by heart. Good. And which then, of course, prompts the Gemara's next question, which is Vasur Shah Chumash HaPekudim, Korei HaPeh Amai, Niglo V'Nikre. So the Gemara says, okay, and what's about rolling to Parshas Pinchas? Okay, if you have good rollers, people who know what they're doing, it would be right. The pros, thank you. So it take about 2 minutes to roll from Parshas Emor. It's the 23rd chapter of Vayikra to go to Parshas Pinchas. Okay, it's further in Parshas Pinchas. In Sefer Bamidbar. But it's one chumash later. It takes about 2 minutes, maybe three. So the Gemara's question over here is so simple. Anyway, remember, you're rolling already from Achrimos to Emor. Now, that's really quick, right? That's just a couple chapters ahead. But to roll from Emor to Pinchas, it's such a big deal. So that's Gemara's question. Am I? So Nigla v'Nikre, so Amar Avuna B'Reid Rav Yeshua Amar Rav Shesha Sofi Shein Golin Sefer Torah B'Tzibur Mimnei Kavarat Tzibur. So the Gemara over here, it's so funny, everybody knows this Gemara, but, okay, good, everyone knows this Gemara. So the Gemara says over here, because what it's going to be is it's going to be a lack of Kavanat Tzibur. You have all these people standing around, and people are just going to be waiting. And it's so funny. In other words, the wait time over here, the actual wait time over here could be measured in minutes. It's not such a big deal. But still, there's an aspect of Kavanat Tzibur. We have to respect the Tzibur. And for just everyone to just wait around and do nothing, that's a lack of Kavanat Tzibur. And so therefore, no, we're not going to roll the Sefer Torah and make people wait. Good. Right. The more common expression that everyone uses is Tircha de Tzibura, right? People love throwing it around. It's one of the better clauses that are thrown around in the shul because basically it's like, I'm bored. Okay. So people throw out their Tircha de Tzibura. Okay. I don't know how far reaching the applications are of this idea of Kavanat Tzibur, but in our Gemara though, very clearly the Gemara is sensitive to this idea of it's the community's time, it's the tzibur's time, and we should just be cognizant of it, be aware of it, and be respectful of it. Okay, that part's very clear. Okay, here's a question that the Gemara does not ask. Well, I'll tell you what. Let me hold. Let's just finish the Gemara first. The thread of the Gemara. Okay, so we just learned about Kavanat Tzibur. V'nesi achrin v'nikre. So now the Gemara asks a question. I know I foreshadowed. I know I previewed this question of the Gemara. And that is, hey, I got this great idea. You think we can get out a second Sefer Torah? Meaning if we're going to be reading from another Parsha, so, okay, you don't want to roll the Sefer Torah and just have people standing there. I get it. So take out a second Sefer Torah and newsflash. That's what we do, right? On occasions where we have to read from two different Parshios, sometimes three different Parshios, so we take out multiple Sefer Torah. Why don't we do that? And the answer can't be, well, they can't afford it. In other words, we're talking about the Beis Hamikdash over here. So they probably could afford another Sefer Torah. So, V'naisi Achrina V'nikre, Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, Amra Mishum Pagamo Shal Rishon. So the Gemara over here says that we're worried about the Pagamo of the Rishon, meaning if we take out a second Sefer Torah, it'll speak poorly about the first Sefer Torah. Now that answer sounds funny to us because we're so comfortable with taking out a second Sefer Torah, and it never impugns the reputation of the first Sefer Torah. So that answer needs more clarification. We're going to get in just a moment.
Why couldn't the Kohen Gadol just declare like he did when he was in his reading outside, saying that, you know...
Okay, good. Okay, right. Perfect. Okay, we're going to get there. So Reish Lakish, Amrei Mishum Bracha Shein Etzricha. And Reish Lakish says, no, because it's going to require an additional bracha, meaning that if we're going to take another Sefer Torah, so we're going to have to give another Aliyah, and instead of simply consolidating everything into one Aliyah, and it's a bracha shein etzricha, it's just simply an unnecessary bracha. Okay. So the Gemara says, umichai shein lepagam. The Gemara says, really, you're worried about pagam. The Gemara now is going to question, which everyone here is wondering as well, and that is that we do it all the time, and it never impugns a previous Sefer Torah, and now all of a sudden we're worried about pagam. V'ha'ama Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. So the Gemara quotes over here, we're going to learn this together at the end of Megillah. The fourth parak of Megillah is all about Kriyas HaTorah and all the rules about Kriyas HaTorah. And so we're going to learn this together. But we know this already. This is something we all know. And that is Rosh Chodesh Tevet Shechalios B'Shabbos. So let's say you have the ultimate confluence. And that is that it's Rosh Chodesh and it's Shabbos. And, of course, it's Rosh Chodesh Tevet and it's Shabbos. And it goes without saying that's also going to be Hanukkah as well. So now we have three reasons to read from the Sefer Torah. Three reasons to read from the Sefer Torah. So what do? We take out three Sefer Torah. It's not the only occasion in the year we take out three Sefer Torah, but it happens to be the one that Brisa is dealing with. It's not a Brisa. It's Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. But anyway. So, Mevin Shal Shars, Vekorno, So, Binyan Shal Yom, Vachashal Rosh Chodesh, Vachashal Chanukah. So what we're going to do is we're going to take out three Sefer Torah. And now, obviously, the question is very obvious. We're not worried about, hey, you take out the second Sefer Torah. What is that going to say about the first Sefer Torah? We're not worried about that. And over here by Yom Kippur, we're worried about it by the Kohen Gadol. So that, of course, is extraordinarily strange. So, Tlasa Gavre Betlasa Sifre Leka Begama, Chai Gavre Betray Sifre Ike Begama. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you the difference. So the difference is how many aliyahs, meaning that when it is a Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh and Chanukah, so that's going to require an aliyah for each one, a separate aliyah for each one. Now, granted, by the way, on Shabbos, we also have multiple aliyahs for Shabbos in and of itself. But put that aside for a moment. Just the fact of the matter is that it's going to be separate aliyahs. The Gemara describes as separate gavri, separate people, but separate people means separate aliyahs. So we know that we're going to give it a separate aliyah for Shabbos and for Rosh Chodesh and for Chanukah. So since each one of them is receiving a separate aliyah, so therefore taking out a separate Sefer Torah will not say anything about the previous Sefer Torah, not positive, not negative. In other words, we just understand. However, when it's one aliyah, which on Yom Kippur it would have been. Now, this part's a little bit tricky, meaning I don't fully understand what I mean when I say it's one aliyah, meaning our minhag is on Yom Kippur to have six aliyahs, as we're going to learn together in Masechta Megillah. It sounds like from our Gemara over here that for the Kohen Gadol, when he reads the Torah in Yom Kippur, it's not broken down into six aliyahs, but it's rather just one aliyah. That's what it sounds like from our Gemara over here. Okay? I admit I'm a little bit unclear about that. But that's the clear implication over here. So when it's one aliyah, now to take away a Sefer Torah, to put away Sefer Torah and take out another Sefer Torah, when meanwhile you're mid-aliyah, so that's going to impugn the reputation of the previous Sefer Torah. That's how the Gemara presents it. And that's why, by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, it's a problem. But meanwhile, for us, and we have separate aliyahs, so it's not a problem whatsoever. Okay.
You read something else, so why would you impugn that was gone before? You read something, then you would have to read the same thing over again. It was
Good question. It's a good question. I don't know. I don't know. That. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm with you. Okay. Let's finally just wrap up this whole discussion as we got to the end of the Gemara's discussion. And let's just speak out now. So, this question was asked to me yesterday. It was asked on Friday when we did the Mishnah. Okay. And the Rishonim discussed it, right? It happens to be the Rishonim on today's daf. And that is that it's so interesting. The Gemara doesn't ask the question. It's a pretty obvious question. And that is that the Parshas Pinchas is going to be read by the Kohen Gadol, but he's going to do it al peh. He's going to read it by heart. And the question that we've asked now 2 days in a row, and now this is the third day in a row we get to ask this question, you're not allowed to read the Sefer Torah by heart. In other words, the Gemara in Gittin says, it's on Daf Samach, right? I'm looking at the Tosfos Yeshanim right now, who quotes the Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin says on Daf Samach that Dvarim Shebichsav, those things which are written down, E-F-Shar, Amram Baal Peh, you can't say them by heart. And then the converse is that Dvarim Shebaal Peh, the Torah Shebaal Peh, you're not allowed to say Miksav, you're not allowed to write it down. Okay, so we wrote down the Torah Shebaal Peh, but that's not our topic right now. Our topic is that it's Torah Shebichsav, you're not allowed to read it by heart. And so over here, you're reading the Torah Shebichsav by heart? Like, what gives the Kohen Gadol the right to do so? So again, it's a simple question, and it's kind of, it's a little bit confounding. The Gemara doesn't ask this question. It's pretty, it's whatever. It seems to be a very basic halacha. If you look at the Gemara over there in Gittin, Tosfos discusses there, and Tosfos a couple of other places in Shas as well. So Tosfos says, you know, it's, generally speaking, people aren't super careful about this. Meaning, obviously, when you're saying Shema, so you should be looking in a Siddur. You should be reading the words from the Siddur. But many people say the Shema by heart, and Tosfos acknowledges Kiddush on Friday night, right? Lots of people say it by heart. So and Tosfos tries to be Miyashev. He tries to justify, to rationalize the practice of many people saying Psukim and doing so Baal Peh. Anyway, but over here, though, the Kohen Gadol, it's an institution. The Kohen Gadol's reading from the Sefer Torah, and Parshas Pinchas, he's doing by heart. So if you look at the Tosfos Yeshanim right over here, so he addresses it. I'm just going to go from the beginning of the Tosfos Yeshanim. I'm not going to go through all of it. So if you want to find me inside Tosfos Yeshanim, there are two columns on my on the way that my Gemara is laid out. I'm on the first column, on towards the bottom. It's actually right where there's like a new paragraph. So now he's quoting one of the Balei HaTosos. I mean, Tosfos Yeshanim is quoting his Rebbe. Good, good. So one of the Balei HaTosos. The mitzvah menamuvcharu likros oso shebichsav. Shebichsav v'shebaal peh baal peh. U'mishem kavod tzibur lo mishurchu liglol. So Tosfos says that the way to understand the Gemara in Gittin is mitzvah menamuvchar. Meaning that, yeah, in other words, it's certainly the preferable way to do it. But over here, you have to balance. Because as we just learned in our Gemara over here, we have this idea of what's called Kavrat Sibor. So Kavrat Sibor is a value. And so now when we have competing values of Kavrat Sibor and, you know, you really shouldn't read the Sefer Torah Baal Peh. So when you have those competing values, so it's the way Tosfos understands. Again, this is just but one approach. There are different approaches. But when you have these kinds of competing values, so Kavrat Sibor, this is the way Tosfos presents it, Kavrat Sibor is going to trump the value of not reading the Sefer Torah by heart. Okay. And so, in order to keep intact and to respect the community's time and not to just have everyone just lingering around, standing around. So therefore, yeah. So the Kohen Gadol is going to read it by heart. Okay. Anyway, so, good. So, we asked the question the third day in a row, but at least now I came with you with just but one approach. There are many. No, but the Gemara asked that question. The Gemara answered that question. You may not be happy with the Gemara's answer, but no, the Gemara answered. Right, the Gemara asked that question. Okay, but why the one question the Gemara didn't ask is that you're not allowed to say the Torah by heart. Okay. We are now in the Gemara in Ayin Amud Aleph, today's daf. We're about a third of the way down. We're at the two dots. Mevarech Aleh, Shemoneh Brachos. You're going to be making eight brachos. And that's a reference to what? So after the Kohen Gadol reads, it does the Kriya. So then he's going to be saying a series of brachos, eight in total. And now our Mishnah gave us a list of eight without much clarification. The Gemara is going to quote a Braisa with a little bit more clarification, not much more. But anyway, but we're going to get a little bit more. So Tan Rabban Allah Torah Kedosh Shemavarchin Bevesa Knesset. So the bracha Allah Torah, this is bracha number one. So that's the regular standard bracha you make when you get an Aliyah. If you remember Rashi back in the Mishnah, a couple days ago, Rashi says it's the bracha after having read the Torah. Right, within Rashi, what about the bracha Rishona? You could simply say that Rashi was just simply focusing on the brachas that are said after the Kriya, not before the Kriya. Okay, anyway. Number two, Al Avoda. Al Hoda. The Al Mechilas Avon Kitikna. So the bracha and Avoda and Hoda and the Mechilas Avon. So that's standard. Now, when I say standard, what do I mean by that? What does the Braisa mean by that? So Avodah is basically Ritzeh. That's the bracha and avoda. Al hoda'a, that's modim. And mechilas avon, so that's probably the bracha that we say on Yom Kippur in the Shemoneh Esrei, meaning the central bracha. So basically what we're looking at over here is a condensed and somewhat shuffled version of Shemoneh Esrei. Right? It's a little bit hard to describe. Meaning again, this is now in the Beis HaMikdash, and tefillah is, right, clearly did not look the same way it looks nowadays. Basically it's, you know, it's some brachas of Shemoneh Esrei that are stated in obviously a specific order, but not an order that we're used to hearing. Okay. So that's brachas 1, 2, 3, and 4. Number 5, Al HaMikdash Bifnei Atzma. There's a bracha that you make on the Mikdash. No more clarification. Okay. There was some bracha that was made on the Beis HaMikdash. I could guess what it is, but I don't know. Al HaKohanim Bifnei Atzma. There's a bracha for the Kohanim. Al Yisrael Bifnei Atzma. A bracha on Klal Yisrael. Al Shara Tfila. And bracha number 8 is Shara Tfila. Okay. Now, that's as vague as one could possibly imagine. Right? So we have some idea what brachas 5, 6, and 7 are, but bracha number 8 is just Shara HaTfila. What is that? So here the Gemara helps us out just a little bit.
The Mishnah mentions the ninth one, the first one
is off. I was wondering the same thing as well. Right? Yeah. Okay, that's it. It's okay. It's a fantastic observation. Right? I didn't have anything to respond to. I didn't bring it up, but yeah. In the Mishnah, David's just pointing out, for those of you at home and on Zoom. So David's pointing out that in the Mishnah, so there were 8 before we got to Shara Tfila, and Shara Tfila then comes out to be number 9. And meanwhile, in the Brisa that we just presented, Shara Tfila is the actual 8th bracha. Okay. What is called the discrepancy, which the Gemara is not going to point out. Okay. Now, Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes a Brisa. And the Brisa over here is going to give us a somewhat better idea of what Shara Tfila is. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in the Brisa. U Shara Tfila, Rina Tchina Bakasham Lefanecha Al Amcha Yisrael, Shitzrichim Lohoshea. Okay, so it's a tefillah. Basically, the Jewish people need salvation. V'chosim shomei tefillah. And the proper conclusion to that bracha is the bracha of shomei tefillah. V'achar kocholecha v'echa mevi sefer Torah. Mi beiso v'kori bo k'dei laharis chazuso l'rabim. And then, really, an amazing minog. After the Kohen Gadol would now be finished reading the sefer Torah and have finished his brachos, so you know what everyone would do? What everyone would take out of sefer Torah. They would go to Yerushalayim. They were prepared. They knew this was happening. So they would be in the Ezra. Remember, we're now in the Ezra's Nashim, as we clarified yesterday. And everybody now, after the conclusion, would take out of their own Sefer Torah, and they would read from their own Sefer Torah. I'm going to read Rashi over here. Laharis chazusa l'rabin, and why? So the Brisa says they want to show it off to others. Generally speaking, that's not a value that we normally, I know, it's not a value that we normally talk about, showing off to others. Rashi writes, Laharos Navyav Shel Sefer Torah V'Tiferes Ba'aleha. Look at my Sefer Torah, it's really nice. Okay, again, the minhag is really unusual and just the behavior. Sounds strange, but Rashi says, no, it works within the halachic value system. Shetarach Lihisnaos B'Mitzvah. Look, I really efforted to get a nice Sefer Torah. Shenamra Zekeli Vanveo, you know, the Torah says that you have to make your mitzvahs beautiful. Hisnaelofana b'mitzvahs, lulavna, Sefer Torah, na, good. So, right, normally Rashi also says talisna, but anyway, you gotta make your mitzvahs beautiful. Beklavna, bidyona, so it happens to be a nice cloth, it happens to be good ink. Belavlar uman, I hired a really good sofer. Okay? And, erev yom kippurim hivum sham. And oh, by the way, when did they bring them? So this part of Rashi also is really interesting. They didn't bring it on Yom Kippur itself, because that would require presumably an act of carrying, presumably. Not really. In other words, if they stay in Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim has a wall around it, and presumably, this last part of Rashi is a little bit unclear to me why they had to bring, but Rashi writes, they brought it in before Yom Kippur. Okay. I don't have a Sefer Torah. If I did, I'd be really uncomfortable. I'm with you. I'd be really uncomfortable to just like, you know, just put in a locker. I understand. I'm with you. I'm totally with you. I don't know. Anyway, really interesting minhag, really interesting Rashi. Okay. We move on. We're back to the Gemara. We're almost up to the next Mishnah. Haro Kohen Gadol. You see the Kohen Gadol. Remember, the Mishnah's comment at the very end. is that you have a choice. You can either watch the burning of the Paran the Seer, which is outside of the three machanos, meaning go all the way outside of Yerushalayim, or you're watching the Kohen read the Sefer Torah, but you can't do both because they're happening concurrently. So the Gemara says, Lam mimnei she'en rashai pshita. So the Gemara says, now, what the Mishnah is saying is an obvious point, meaning once we know that they happen concurrently, so then why does the Mishnah even have to make this comment? So Ma'u detema k'dereish lakish. So the Gemara says, no. I might have thought that without the logistic issue, there's a halachic issue. Meaning the Mishnah is focusing on the logistic issue. They're not in the same place. But I might have thought that there's a halachic issue. What? The halachic issue of Reish Lakish. I'm Reish Lakish. Ain ma'avir nala mitzvos. Okay, good. So we have the basic rule. We've seen it time and again, and that is, don't pass over a mitzvah opportunity. Meaning you have a mitzvah opportunity, don't pass it over. And umay mitzvah. Now, that would mean, again, logistically it's impossible. But if it were possible that I could jump from the Kriyas HaTorah to the burning of the Paran this year, so I might have thought that if logistic won't allow me to do it, which it won't, but if that weren't the issue, halacha won't allow me to do it. That's why I would have thought. Well, what's the issue? So the issue is my mitzvah, Barav HaMadras Melech. So the issue over here is as follows. When I'm listening to the Kohen Gadol reading the Sefer Torah, so now I'm fulfilling a mitzvah of Rav HaMadras Melech. You know, the mitzvah is enhanced. It's better when people are doing it together. Okay? This would be a strong advocacy for making bigger minyanim and congregating in one central area in Rav HaMadras Melech. Okay, and many other examples of Rav HaMadras Melech. But over here it's an interesting application of Rav HaMadras Melech. Because when you're listening to the Kohen Gadol read from the Sefer Torah, whose mitzvah is that? Presumably, it's the Kohen Gadol's mitzvah. But the mitzvah gets enhanced when there are more people that are involved. So I might have thought that that kind of Rav HaMadras Melech would be enough of a mitzvah where now if you want to jump ship and you're like, you know what? I'm almost afraid to say it, but I'm a little bit bored over here. I'd much rather watch the burning of the Paran this year. So I might have thought, that's a Havamina now, that because you're participating in the mitzvah from the perspective of Rav HaMadras Melech, so that will now inhibit me from jumping and going to another mitzvah of watching the burning of the Paran Seir. That's what I might have thought. So Kamash Malan, the Chiddush is no. Now, over here, the Kamash Malan is a little bit tricky to understand. Well, wait one second. If, in fact, you're not allowed to jump from one mitzvah to another, Ein Mavir Nala Mitzvos, and if, in fact, by you listening to the Kohen Gadol, you're participating in the mitzvah of Rav HaMadras Melech, so then why would you be allowed to jump from one to another? Right? And Rashi over here writes, I underline the Rashi. So Kamash Malan, Dalav Me'aver Hu Me'achar She'inu Osek Ba. So the way Rashi says it is as follows. Because you're just a spectator. Now, granted, even as a spectator, you're enhancing. But you're right now just a spectator. So as a spectator, even though you are providing an element of Rav HaMadras Melech, but only from the perspective of a spectator, not of a participant. If we could just contrast. When you're hearing Kiddush. Okay, so better one person make Kiddush, everyone listen. But you're not just a spectator. In other words, by you listening, you're fulfilling your mitzvah of Kiddush. So that's more than just being a spectator. That's being a spectator and participating in the actual mitzvah itself. So that is a, if you will, by the way, we're grading. So that's a higher level of Rav HaMadras Melech, because you are listening and participating because you're fulfilling your mitzvah of Kiddush. Over here, you're just enhancing by listening, but you're not performing any mitzvah per se in the Kriyas HaTorah. Okay. So that's why, says Rashi, that's the Kamash Malan, as Rashi understands it. That's why you're allowed to, you would in theory be allowed to jump ship and leave the Kriyas HaTorah and go to watching the Paran the Seer. Okay. But again, the whole Mishnah's point is that there's no halachic problem to do so. You're allowed to do so halachically. It's just that logistically they're occurring at the same time and they're far apart from one another. So that's why I struggle a little bit with this Gemara over here. And I guess the Gemara is talking about specifically the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Meaning for us, for Kriyas HaTorah, right, there is a discussion, there is a discussion to be had about it. It's a Chovas Sibur, not a Chovas Yachid. But Phil, I'm sensitive to your point. Meaning, under normal circumstances, you go to shul and you're listening to Kriyas HaTorah. I know, but this isn't just any Kriyas HaTorah. Meaning, it's the Kohen Gadol's Kriyas HaTorah. There's no mitzvah in the Torah that he has to read from the Sefer Torah. I assume it's a Derabbanan, but it's part. It's just, you know, it's woven into the avoda of Yom Kippurim. Okay. I have the ability to be wrong on that, as many things. But okay, Adkan. That takes us to the end of the first half of today's daf, and let's begin with the Mishnah. Now let's get to the part two of today's daf. Okay. We're winding down, meaning we are really getting to the end of the avoda. So we have now treated ourselves to all the avoda while the Kohen is wearing his Bigdei Lavan, with notable exception to the removal of the Kaf and the Machta, which is coming up in our Mishnah over here. Now, just if we may, just let's make two larger points. One, we already made earlier in the Masechta, but let's remind each other. Kohen Gadol is going to be making five wardrobe changes over the course of Yom Kippur. Starts off the day with the Bigdei Zahav, then turns to Bigdei Lavan, then changes to Bigdei Lavan, to Zahav, to Lavan, to Zahav. Okay, now, the bulk of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim is done in the first occasion that he wears his Bigdei Lavan, like we've been describing now for the last four or five Parakim. Good. Then he's going to be changing into his Bigdei Zahav, which we're about to learn in our Mishnah over here. But really, the Avodah of Yom Kippur is pretty much done. It's in the books. The Bigdei Zahav, so he's going to bring his ayil, right, which is described in Achrei Mos. Okay. Then he's going to change into Bigdei Lavan for a second time today, for doing one activity, and that is the removal of Kaf Machta, the spoon and the shovel that's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So because he's got to go back into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so he's got to wear his Bigdei Lavan. He can't wear his standard Bigdei Kahuna while doing so, because that has gold on it, and we discussed this already early in the Masechta. Fine. So, and then afterwards, after the removal of the Kaf Machta, so he's going to be changing again. Remember, with every change, he's toveling in the mikvah. Also remember, with every change, he's going to be washing his hands and feet twice. So that comes out to a total of 10 Kiddush Yadam V'Raglaim and 5 Tefillahs in the Mikvah. And then he's going to be changing into Bigdei Zahav, where he's going to be offering the Tamid Shel Bein Arabayim, the afternoon Tamid, and an assortment of other Karbanos as well. Okay, so that's one large point, which I know we know already, but just make sure that we're all looking at the same thing. Okay, another thing to take into consideration. How many Karbanos are offered on Yom Kippur? So the unofficial answer is a lot. Okay? I know that's not a precise answer, but in order to get the full picture of all the Karbanos that are brought on Yom Kippur, so here's what we need to do. We're not going to do it right now because of time consideration, and I feel bad. But you need to go through the Parsha of Achrei Mos. You're going to see an assortment of Karbanos that are brought over there. And you also need to open up Parshas Pinchas and read through Parshas Pinchas, where there's another assortment of Karbanos that are brought. Now, the ones in Parshas Pinchas are the Musafin, right? I know that. But typically they're the Musafin. Now, the easiest way to say it is that Achrei Mos are Karbanos specific to Yom Kippur. They don't have they are additional to a standard day, but they're not Karban Musafs. Meaning there's something specific and special and unique to Yom Kippur, and that's all the Karbanos mentioned in Achrei Mos. And then when you get over to Parshas Pinchas, so there happens to be an additional set of Karbanos. Every special day has got Musafin. Rosh Chodesh has got one, Shabbos has got one, every Yontif has got one, and they're all detailed and listed in Parshas Pinchas. Okay, so what you could say is that they're just simply, in other words, in order to get the full complement of Karbanos that you bring on Yom Kippur, go through Achrei Mos and go through Pinchas, and there's no overlap whatsoever. It happens to be, as the Gemara is going to point out at the end of today's daf, our Mishnah subscribes to the following idea, is that there is one carbon that overlaps. The aisle that's mentioned in Achrei Mos is the same aisle that's mentioned in Parshas Pinchas as well. Okay, so that means to say that there is but one carbon that does in fact overlap. When you go through all the carbonates that are offered on Yom Kippur, any of them are eaten? This is a great trivia question. Any of the carbonates eaten? Now, obviously it's Yom Kippur and you're not allowed to eat. But aside from that, are any of the Karbanos actually eaten? The answer is going to be yes. It's a great trivia question. Of the Musafim that are mentioned in Parshas Pinchas, one of them is a Karban Chatas, a standard Karban Chatas. What happens with the standard Karban Chatas? You have to eat it. Kohanim have to eat it. Now, it's going to be a...
personal Chatas?
Huh? No. The personal Chatas is an Achrei Mos. Yeah, and but that's different. That's Shavuos. We're talking about Yom Kippur now. So on Yom Kippur, so there is one carbon chatas. So that one carbon chatas is gonna be consumed by the Kohanim. Now, obviously, it's Yom Kippur, so that's gonna be a bit tricky. But this is solvable. This is a really solvable problem, and that is you wait till Yom Kippur is over, and then because remember, for every chatas, you have one day and one night to eat it. So the Kohanim will eat it tonight, right? The break fast for the Kohanim. Okay, good. So there is a lot to keep in mind, and I'm going to go through these Gemaras, the rest of the Mishnah and the upcoming Gemara. I'm going to go through way too quickly. I just want to apologize on the front end because you have to know all the Karbanos and you have to know the various changes that are made by the Kohen, and when is everything brought. So the remainder of today's daf is going to be discussing that very issue. Okay, so let's go. Mishnah. Im bebig de butz kari kiddush yadav raglav. Now, if he did the kriya while wearing his big day lavan, so he's going to be washing his hands and feet. Remember, the previous Mishnah said that he had an option where he could do the kriya satara while still wearing his big day lavan, or he could change into his own clothing. Either way, if he's wearing his big day lavan, so now he's going to be kiddush yadav raglav pasha yara tava olav and his topic baby a little big day zahav. Now he's going to change into his big day zav. Remember, this is now his third change of the day. And then he's going to wash his hands and feet again. Every time he changes, remember, it's one tefillah on the mikvah and it's two kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. Now he's going to bring the aisle, his aisle, and also elam, the aisle of the people. And you're also going to be bringing the seven kvasim. Now that's the musafim mentioned in Parshas Pinchas. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, that sheet is Rabbi Eliezer. Now, at this point in time, admittedly, it's not totally clear what is the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. So I'm going to ask you to wait because the Gemara is going to note that in the Mishnah, if all we have is just a Mishnah, we really don't have clarity of what is Rabbi Eliezer's Shita. The Gemara is going to clean it up and explain exactly what is Rabbi Eliezer's Shita. Rabbi Akiva Omer, im tam shel shach ayu kravim. So Rabbi Eliezer says, Rabbi Akiva says that they're brought together with the tam shel shachar. Now, when we say they, so that's a pronoun. What does that mean? They are brought. So again, the Mishnah over here is a little bit vague. The Gemara is going to clean it all up. So Tam Shel Shachar, you crave him. Upar Olav Vesir Nasa Bechutz, together with the par which is an Ola, and the Seir that's done outside. The Seir that's done outside is the Seir that I just was referring to moments earlier. Meaning that's the standard Chatos Musaf that's mentioned in Parshas Pinchas. So how you crave him in Tamish Al Bein Arabayim, that's offered with the Tamish Al Bein Arabayim. Once again, I'm just going to comment. The Mishnah over here presents an ambiguity in terms of which karbanos are offered when, according to Rabbi Akiva. And once again, when we get to the Gemara is going to clean it all up. Kiddush Yadav Raglav, Pasha V'yar, V'tava V'alav, Nistapik, Hevilo Bigdei Lavan. Now, once again, he's going to be washing his hands. He's going to tovel in the mikvah. He's going to wash his hands again. And he's gonna, and as he now changes, this is his fourth wardrobe change as he's now going into Big Day Lavan to do one thing. So, v'lavash v'kiddush yadav raglav nichnas osiyas kafes amachta. He's gonna be removing the spoon and the shovel. Now, kiddush yadav raglav v'pasha yarud v'tavah alav v'nistapik evi alo Big Day Zahav. Goes now into his fifth wardrobe change as he now wears his Big Day Zahav. V'lavash v'kiddush yadav raglav nichnas ahakir kataris shobain arbaim. Offering the kataris of the afternoon, lehitif asaneros. And also to light the naros of the evening, v'kiddush yadav raglav, upashat. And now he's going to be washing his hands and feet, and he's going to be removing his clothing, and that is it. The day for him is over. Now the day's not over, but the avoda for him is over. Heviu lo, and they bring to him, big day atzmo. They bring to him his own clothing. They bring to him his own clothing, and they escort him to his house. And it was the yom tov for all of his loved ones. Because he made it through the day. That's right. Just to make it through the day. Okay, so that made it a quasi yom tov. Now, what practically does it mean that it was the yom tov? So presumably after Yom Kippur, so they had a. That is significant spread for him. Okay, but anyway, it was a personal yontif for him. Okay, so there was a lot of information in that very little Mishnah. Here's what we know for sure. There are two opinions in the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva. After that point in time, it gets a little bit muddy. So what the Gemara now is going to do is the Gemara first is going to present just like how ambiguous the Mishnah is, and the Gemara is going to clean it all up. So when the Mishnah says that it's offered together with the Tamashal Shachar, so upara ola basir nasa b'chutz im tamashal ben arba'im, does it mean that only the aforementioned karbanos are offered with the tamashal shachar, but then the reference of par and the seir nasa b'chutz is offered with the tamashal ben arba'im, meaning it, we're really not clear where to even put the comma in the Mishnah. Odama achi kamar im tamashal shachar yukrevim par ola ba'adayu. So maybe the par and the ola, I'm sorry, the ola par is offered with the tamashal shachar and the seir nasa b'chutz im tamashal ben arba'im. Okay, so basically, we're really unsure where to put the comma in the Mishnah for Rabbi Eliezer. Visu parola the Rabbi Eliezer de shire emes avile and the parola for Rabbi Eliezer. So when exactly is he doing it? Visu ben le Rabbi Eliezer ben le Rabbi Kiva imure chatas emes avilehu. And also, by the way, the Mishnah doesn't mention that you know that we have the imurim of the par and the seer. So you recall we described this just a couple of days ago. That before the par and seer are removed from the azara, so we open them up in order to remove the umur because we are going to burn them on the mizbeach like every chatas apinimias. The question is that in the Mishnah as we're wrapping it up, there's no mention of the umur whatsoever. Okay, so lots of questions to ask. So Amar Rav la mishkach la mitak nasa. So Rav says we're not going to get it clear. Meaning Rav says look. In the Mishnah, for whatever reason, the Mishnah is just simply not presenting a clear and cohesive report of what is Rabbi Elazar Shita and what is Rabbi Kiva Shita. Ela, Ola Rabbi Elazar Tana de Beis Shmuel, Ila Rabbi Akiva Kid de Tosefta. So if you want clear accounting of what Rabbi Elazar is and what Rabbi Kiva is, so you're going to have to go to Brisas. It's one of those most unusual circumstances where the Mishnah does not provide full clarity, and meanwhile the Brisas do. And Rav says, okay, so here we're going to have to outsource in order to get a clear picture of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva. So first we'll start with Rabbi Elazar, the Tana de Beis Shmuel. So here we're quoting a Brisa. This Brisa is taught in the Yeshiva of Shmuel. Rabbi Eliezer Amar Yatzav Asa Elav Elaam V'imure Chatas. Okay, so he's going to bring the isle and the isle of the nation. And the imurim of the chatas of apara ola v'shivas kvasim v'sir nasa b'chutz im tamishal ben arba'im. Oh, so here now, right? It's concise, but it's really clear because it accounts for everything and it tells us when everything is happening. So when the Kohen Gadol is going to be offering both his aisle, the aisle of the nation, and the imurim of the chatas that's going to be done in the third wardrobe change. That's the big days of. Now, when it comes to the par ola shivas kvasim and the sir nasa b'chutz. So that's going to be together, coupled together with the Tamashal Bein Arbaim. And that is all as per the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Clarity and accounting for everything. Now, Rabbi Akiva to Tosefta. Now, in terms of getting Shita's Rabbi Akiva nice and clear, so here too we're going to outsource. And that is Ma'id Detanyim, Walant and Bryce, Rabbi Akiva, Omer Parah, Ola Vashivas Kvasim, Im Tamashal Shachar, Hayu Kraven. So he says basically all the Musafim, I didn't mean the word all, most of the Musafim are going to come together with the Tamashal Shachar. So really, by the way, if you want just a really good way to think about it, it's the difference between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer is where are those Musafim brought? Coupled with the Tamashal Bein Arba'im or tough, coupled with the Tamashal Shachar? According to Rabbi Eliezer, it's with the Tamashal Bein Arba'im, and according to Rabbi Akiva, it's with the Tamashal Shachar. Shenamar, the Pasuk says, Mevado Lasa Boker, Shalom Lasa Tamid. Because we know that generally speaking, Musaf is together, it is coupled, it's linked with the Tamashal Shachar. V'achar kach Avodas Hayom. Now, granted, by the way, the Pasuk just quoted is not talking about the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, but still, it gives us what we, I guess we can call it, Binyanav. That generally speaking, Musaf comes together with the Tamashal Shachar. V'achar kach, Sir Anasa Bechutz, Shenemar, and then afterwards you offer the Sir Anasa Bechutz. This is all still a clarification of Shitas Rabbi Kiva. As we turn to the Amud Beis, Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Yerizim Echad Chatas, Movar Chatas HaKippurim. In addition to the Chatas of Yom Kippur, you're offering a standard carbon Chatas. V'acharkach Eilav Eilaham. Then after that you bring the Isle and the Isle of the Nation. V'acharkach Imuri Chatas. Then afterwards you bring the Imuri Chatas. V'acharkach Tamashal Bein Arbaim. And then afterwards you bring the Tamashal Bein Arbaim. Okay. So, this is all now a clarification of Shitas Rebbe Akiva. So we now have outsourced two different brisas, and now we have a much better view of Shitas Rebbe Eliezer, Shitas Rebbe Akiva. Now the Gemara wants to know, what's the basis of this machlokas, my time with Rebbe Eliezer? So Avad Kidichsiv. So the Gemara says for Rebbe Eliezer, it's really simple. Look at the Torah in total, follow the instructions in the Torah in the sequence that the Torah provides. Meaning, Avid Bereshit to Torah's Kohanim, right? In other words, how do I bring the Karbanos today? Oh, okay, fine. So let's open up Vayikra. That's the third Chumash in the Torah, where we're given instructions in terms of how the Seder Avodas Yom Kippurim is done. Good, right? And then give yourself a big check. Now, oh, the Musafim? Okay, good. Zavahadar Avid Chumash HaBakudim. Well, that's found one Chumash later in Bamidbar. And then, and that's why you're going to do that afterwards. Okay, good. So that's Shitas Rebbe Eliezer. The Gemara doesn't say this, right? It could be that the Gemara over here, the Machlokas really is predicated on whether or not you subscribe to Ein Mukdam U'Meuchar B'Torah, you don't subscribe to Ein Mukdam U'Meuchar B'Torah, right? That Machlokas between Rashi and the Ramban. To what degree do we say that the Torah is out of chronology? So over here, Rebbe Eliezer says that the Torah is viewed as chronological, not only in terms of events, but in terms of sequencing the Avodah of Yom Kippur. Okay. And Rabbi Akiva k'diktani taima. Now, as far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned, we don't need to understand Rabbi Akiva any better, as we already saw the reason provided in the Brisa that we quoted on the bottom of the previous Amud. Mavad ola saboker, asher lola tamid al ama musafim tam shel shachar avilu. We know that according to Rabbi Akiva, he's of the position that all the musafim, generally speaking, are going to be linked with the tam shel shachar. V'Rebbe Eliezer, Haim Mavad Chatas HaKippurim May Avilei. Now for Rebbe Eliezer, what does he do with the pasuk of Mavad Chatas HaKippurim? Because according to Rebbe Eliezer, the Sir Naaseh B'Chutz is not done, is done at a later point in time. So for Rebbe Eliezer does with that pasuk, it's not telling you when to offer the Sir Naaseh B'Chutz, it's telling me what it's coming to be Mechaper for. Notably, Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav. Right, one of those really big themes of the Chatas Sibur is that we've already established this, that when it comes to the Chatas of Yom Kippur, specifically the Paran this year, so that's providing Kapara for possible Tumah violation of the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Heichal and the Mizbeach. And now what the Gemara is saying is that according to Rabbi Eliezer, even the Sir Naaseh B'Chutz, the standard carbon Chatas that's offered on Yom Kippur, meaning the one mentioned in Parshas Pinchas, that too is coming for Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav. I guess you'll say it's coming for anything that is done external, meaning in the Azara. Okay. Adkan, that's not the end of today's daf, but good. We have now given a clear picture of what the Avodah is going to look like according to Rabbi Kiva and according to Rabbi Eliezer. I have a wonderful feeling that he's probably charted it out over there in the art scroll. I'm right. It's whatever. And we're not done yet because, we have covered the two basic opinions. And just for the remainder of today's daf, we're going to be covering now two variant views of Rabbi Akiva. And we'll do this quickly. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Mishmo Echa Krav Im Tamid Shel Shachar Vishisha Im Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim. One variant view of Rabbi Akiva is that of the seven kvasim, one is offered with the Tamid Shel Shachar, six are offered with the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim. What? We'll explain. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon Amar Mishmo, a second variant view of Rabbi Akiva is Shisha Kraven in Tamid Shel Shachar Ve'echad in Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim. Yeah, you're going to divide the seven kvasim of Yom Kippur, of the Musaf of Yom Kippur. Six are offered together with the Tamid Shel Shachar. One is offered with the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim. My time, Mayu de Rabbanan. So these rabbis who are both expressing a variant view within Rabbi Akiva, so what is it coming from? So Trey Kreixiv, Iksiv Malvado Losaboker. So we have one pasuk that says that the kvasim are offered in conjunction with the Tamid Shel Shachar. And then Iksiv, and we have another pasuk, Vayetzev Asas Olaso, that he's going to do his Ola, meaning, and he's going to go out to do his Ola, Hilkach, which means that it's coming at a later point in time, not with the Tamid Shel Shachar. So basically, we're trying to balance how the psukim are actually giving us two different messages of when the kvasim should be brought. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take the seven, we're going to split it. Okay, now the split, by the way, there are two ways to split it up. It's either 1 and 6 or 6 and 1. So hilkach avid minayu hacha. So b'may kamiflagi. Now the Gemara wants to know, okay, so now we understand why they're split up, but why specifically is it split up. One splits it up 6 and 1, and the other 1 and 6. The Gemara goes on to explain. Rabbi Yehuda Savar Avid Chad Kidichsev Mavad Alas Aboker Vahadar Avid Avodas Ayom Dilma Chusha Chalish Kohen Gadol. So one argument is that the Kohen Gadol should do one first by the Tamasho Shachar, and basically it's a marathon, and there's a lot coming up ahead, and don't take up all of his energy to offer 6 of the Musafim, so that at that point in time now he's good and tired and he's got the Avodas Yom Kippurim, and we have to take that into account. Therefore, we know we're going to break it up. Do one of the Kvasim prior to the Avodas Yom Kippurim, then do the entire Avodas Yom Kippurim, and then afterwards let him finish up afterwards. And oh, by the way, if he's exhausted after that point in time, but at least he was able to do the Avodas Yom Kippurim. Rashi over here writes, I mean, it's intuitive. We know this, but Rashi over here writes very clearly, that's the Ikar Avoda. The Ikar Avoda obviously is the all the avodah that he does in this big day lavan. So have him do one of the musafim beforehand and basically save his energy for the ikar avodah. Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon Sofer came to ask Chalavi Shisha Dilma Pasha Delagabi Avodas Yom Hayom Zarizu. And the Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon says, now, here's what we'll do. Have him do 6 kvasim beforehand. The Avodas Yom HaKippurim, don't worry. The Kohen Gadol is going to get amped up. I know I'm using my language, but the Kohen Gadol is going to get amped up for the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, right? He's been preparing this now for a week, right? Single-mindedly preparing for the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. You're worried about him getting tired when he gets to the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, and he's going to go into the Kodesh Kodashim with a cloud of smoke. He'll be just fine for that, and don't worry about wearing him down. So you know what? Have him do 6 beforehand. And anyway, so we're not worried about him getting the energy. He'll get all the adrenaline energy he needs for the Avodas Yom Kippurim. And then afterwards, only have one to do. Okay, it's just it's really fantastic, by the way. Like they're really working out the psychology of what's the better way to navigate the day. Now, I made this point very much earlier, but here the Gemara is making the point as I predicted. Because I looked ahead. But as I predicted, the Gemara now is going to make the point that of all the carbonos that are mentioned in Achrei Mos and in Pinchas, so our Gemara is assuming that there was one that is overlapped, and that's the aisle. And the Gemara now notes, Keman Kerebi. So our Mishnah, which is espousing the view of Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Akiva, and we just saw a Breisa, with 2 variant views of Rebbe Akiva, but all of them are subscribing to the Shita of Rebbe. Now, admittedly, by the way, Rebbe comes later, but that doesn't bother. In other words, Rebbe's just simply expressing a viewpoint that obviously was held prior to him. D'tanya v'lentan b'raisa Rebbe, Omer, Ayala echad Omer, Kan, Hu ha'amor b'chumash ha'pekudim. So we're going to be reading about an aisle in Achrei Mos. We're reading about an aisle in Bamidbar. It's the same aisle, according to Rebbe. And Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon Amar Shnei Eilim Ein. And Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon says, no, they're 2 separate aisles. Echad Amor Kan, Echad Amor B'chumash HaPekudim. And they're not the same. So that means to say that if I were to chart out all the karbonos going to Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, he would have 1 more karbon than that of Rebbe. So my time at the Rebbe Dichsiv, Echad. Rebbe says, look, the Torah says it's aisle Echad, which means that even as I take a sum total picture of all the karbonos, it's one aisle. And Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, Mayachad Miyuchad Shebe'edro. And Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon says, no, it's one that is special and unique. V'Rebbe Nafka Lei Mi Mifchar Nidarecha. And Rebbe learns it already from another pasuk that says that it has to be special and unique. And Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, Chad Bechov V'Chad B'Lindav V'Tzricha. And Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon says, I need 2 drushas. One to tell me that when it's an obligatory karban, so then it has to be a really has to be something special and unique. And when it is a voluntary carbon, it too has to be special and unique. And even if I had the drasha by one, I wouldn't necessarily have known by the other. And if you remember, some time ago, earlier in the Masechta, the Gemara or Rashi gave us what exactly, why if I only had one, I wouldn't have necessarily known the other. Okay. I know it was a long daf today, but we're good. We completed. Okay, let's go over the basic points of today's daf. Number one, we talked about the Kohen Gadol, where he skips from Achrei Mos to Emor, but he doesn't skip from Emor to Pinchas, but rather he wraps up the Sefer Torah, makes an announcement. There's more, which I'm going to say by heart. And the Gemara asks the obvious questions, which is why not just skip? Why not just take out a second Sefer Torah? Tosfos Yeshayahu says, why are we reading it by heart? So we address all these very basic questions in today's daf. Another big discussion that we had in the beginning of the daf today is that at the conclusion of the Kriyas HaTorah, so there are going to be 8 brachos. So we outlined the 8 brachos, including the last bracha of the Shaar HaTfilah. If there wasn't a logistic issue, would I be able to jump from the Kriyas HaTorah to the burning of the Paran this year? So the Gemara says yes, even though one is fulfilling the mitzvah of Rov HaMajas Melech, but the way Rashi describes it, only as a spectator, not as a participant. So that's why, if it was logistically possible, I would be able to jump from one to another, despite the fact that we have a rule of Ein Mavir Nala Mitzvos. Okay. And the remainder of today's daf was an intricate discussion of what exactly is going to be the total package, total picture of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim done by the Kohen Gadol while he is going through all his wardrobe changes. What we know with absolute clarity is what is happening while the Kohen Gadol is wearing his Big Day Lavan, the first time and the second time. First time he's doing the bulk of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, the second time it's just the removal of the Kaf and the Machta. What is open for a lengthy discussion in our Gemara today is, when is he offering all the Musafim? And so is he doing it in conjunction with the Big Day, with the first Big Day Zav, in which he offered the Tamashal Shachar? Is he doing it in conjunction with the last, the fifth time that he's putting on the Big Day Zav, and it's done in conjunction with the Tamashal Bein Arabayim? So this is part of a larger discussion, Machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva, and we went through the Mishnah and its presentation, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva. Gemara acknowledges that it did not come out super clear in the Mishnah, but with outsourcing to Brisas, we had clarity on Rabbi Elazar, and we had clarity also on Rabbi Akiva. On the Amud Beis, we learned 2 varying views of Rabbi Akiva, where in the Brisas version of Rabbi Akiva, so all of the Musafim are going to go together with the Tamashal Shachar. In the variant versions of Rabbi Akiva, it's actually going to be split. Some are with the Tamashal Shachar, some are with the Tamashal Bayim. The seven Kvasim are going to be split into 1 and 6. How is it going to be sequenced? That's a machlokas. That's going to be two different views within Rabbi Akiva. One is 1 and 6, the other is 6 and 1, and the Gemara gave us arguments in terms of which one is preferable and why. And finally, the last thing that we discussed today is that that our Mishnah and our entire discussion is assuming that the aisle in Parshas Pinchas and the aisle in Acharei Moshe are one in the same aisle. That is the one karban where actually it's overlapped, and it's actually describing the same aisle. But the Gemara notes, not everyone's in agreement with that. It's a machlokas tonight.